Welcome. This is the Fly Fishing Journeys podcast with host Rob Giannino, where we have great conversation with really awesome experts from within the fly fishing community. You see, the fly fishing lifestyle is a journey, and we're glad you're on this journey with us. Check out flyfishingjourneys.com for more podcasts, journal-style blog posts, and a link to our social media community. And please subscribe on your favorite podcast player. Here's your host, Rob Giannino.
Sometimes in life, you need to go further. Push through those invisible barriers you thought were there. What an incredible week my son Tyler and I had at Almer Lake Lodge in the Northwest Territories. A gorgeous camp, wonderful host, trophy lake trout, high in the water column, and huge grayling. On top of that, an encounter of a lifetime, face to face, well, actually 30 yards from a 1,200-pound Arctic muskox. Truly an experience of a lifetime. A really fun conversation with Kevin McNeil of Almer Lake Lodge is on deck after a short announcement from one of our key sponsors, The Fly Fishing Show.
The Fly Fishing Show produces the world's largest consumer fly fishing events. The show has hundreds of exhibitors on the show floor and dozens of free seminars, fly tying demos, and programs. This is the only place you can get your hands on nearly every fly fishing product in the world at the same time as booking the next fly fishing location on your bucket list. Talk to the pros and test gear on our casting ponds. Get more information about the show's location and schedule at flyfishingshow.com. The Fly Fishing Show, where fly fishing is not part of the show. It is the show.
So here I sit north of the 64th parallel in the northernmost reaches of the Northwest Territories of Canada. My son Tyler and I have spent the last 5 days experiencing the barren lands of the Arctic. Guests at Almer Lake Lodge, I'm thrilled to be with Kevin McNeil, owner and manager of the lodge. Kevin has owned and run Almer Lake Lodge for the past 5 years. He's an expert fishing guide and finds his passion helping people catch fish, which we did a lot of this week. After spending a few days with him and his lovely wife, Patty, I found they're equally passionate about sharing this beautiful land with others. In addition to Almer Lake Lodge, Kevin is an expert hunter and has run a successful hunting business, Blue Sky Outfitters, for the past 19 years. Kevin, thank you so much for having us here at your lodge and being on our podcast.
I want to thank you for coming up and experience what we have to offer in the Arctic.
Really,
it's an amazing place.
Really is something special. So part of Fly Fishing Journeys is to fish ahead of our listeners and our viewers. And get them great information and bring that information back to them because they might want to do an adventure like this. Part of our motto is to go further. Part of our purpose is to shrink the world and help people understand what may seem like really far away. I mean, on a map.
On a map, yeah.
We're really far away.
We are really far away.
We're almost to the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
But a couple plane rides, a float plane ride, and here we are.
Yep.
I mean, we can get on a plane and we can go to Disney. We can get on a plane and go to Europe. We can get on a plane and go to Yellowknife and on a float plane, and here we are in the Barren Lands.
Correct.
So what may seem like really far away is really doable once you have the information. So with that being said, Kevin, can you paint a picture for our listeners about where we sit from a map standpoint?
We sit northwest of the 64th parallel. We're in the northeast corner of the Barren Lands of the Northwest Territories. We're 230 air miles northeast of Yellowknife. We're about 100 miles above the tree line in the Northwest Territories where it sits. We're close to the Thelon Game Preserve. We're the closest lodge to it. We're the only lodge in the northeast corner up here. There's nobody else up here. We don't have, our nearest neighbor would be the Gatchell Q Diamond Mine, which is about 90 miles away by air. That's our nearest neighbor.
So let's put this in perspective. You can get on, you get on a plane, you can go to Edmonton, you go to Calgary, you can pop into Yellowknife. So if you're flying from the States, you can fly direct from Ottawa all the way to Yellowknife.
Yeah, there's two ways you can come. You can come from the central and the west side. You come through Denver, Washington, up to Calgary, Edmonton, and then fly to Yellowknife. We have 7 flights a day out of Edmonton or Calgary combined that fly direct to Yellowknife. So you can leave Houston, Texas, and you can be sitting in Yellowknife 7-8 hours later. And if your schedule works out early enough in the morning, you can actually be having supper at the lodge the same day you leave Houston.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And to think we were, you know, we're in Boston. We got on a plane. We went through Toronto. We landed in Calgary.
Yeah.
And then we overnighted, and then actually we popped into Yellowknife on the same day.
On the same day.
Yep, and so on the same day we're at Yellowknife, we overnighted there, and then we flew in to see you the next day.
Yep.
No
and
problem.
And the other way you can come is from the eastern side if you want. You can fly into Ottawa.
Right.
And then Air North actually has a direct flight from Ottawa to Yellowknife, a four-hour flight. So if you're on the east coast like you are from Boston area, you can just fly there, a couple hour, 1.5 hour flight or so, get on Air North plane, say 10, 11 in the morning, and you're in Yellowknife by 2 in the afternoon. You catch our float plane that leaves between 3 and 4. You're having supper the same day that you left Boston.
Amazing. And many of our listeners from the Northeast can actually just drive to Ottawa if they wanted to.
Yeah, you can just drive.
You can fly to Ottawa if you want, but if you want to take out one of the flights, just drive to Ottawa, and then you can take a direct flight all the way to Yellowknife, float plane in here.
Float plane in.
And here we are. I mean, we're in the most northern reaches of the world.
Yes.
And tell our listeners, because in case they didn't get it, how many square miles of water you have?
We have 1,700 square miles of water. I'm not sure how many lineal miles we have of shoreline. It's a lot.
It's everywhere you look.
We have massive islands, inlets, bays, rock shoals all over the place. In the last 5 years of fishing, we've fished maybe 1% to 2% of Elmer Lake. We've fished probably 0.5% of Clinton-Colden Lake. We have 15 outpost camps that we haven't even touched yet. It's a massive, massive area, tremendous fishery.
And we've been here, you know, for, this is our fifth day.
Yes.
I've been doing day one, day two, day three, day four, and this would be day five, kind of Facebook posts.
Yes.
And posting about 4 or 5 pictures a day. And not to say that the first day wasn't amazing and this day was that much better, but it, like I said on the Facebook post, every day is a crescendo.
Yes.
It builds off the day before.
Yes.
The first day, Tyler catches a beautiful Arctic grayling right off your dock. We fished at night, the fish were rising. He caught probably a 3.5-4 pound Arctic grayling right from the dock.
Yeah, we consistently can catch Arctic grayling right off our dock or our beach right in front of the lodge. Anywhere between, we'll say, 22 to 25 inches on a daily basis every day.
And you actually can measure them in pounds.
Yeah, we measure them in pounds, not in inches.
What's the poundage range for the grayling?
Our actually lodge record is 6.1, which would be the world record. Frank Ross caught it from Cabela's.
6.1 pound grayling. Yeah. Now, where in the world can you catch a 6 pound grayling?
I'm not sure how many places.
Not a lot of places.
Canada, Elmer Lake.
At Elmer Lake. But I haven't heard of grayling in pounds in like Alaska.
Yeah.
Usually it's inches. It's when inches. You talk about grayling, you talk about inches.
Inches.
These grayling are pounds. You pick them up and it's like catching a 3 pound rainbow trout.
Yeah. They're very different, except for they're bigger.
They're bigger.
Yes.
And they're beautiful and they have the beautiful fins.
Fin, yeah.
And they're blue and they're purple and they're soft.
Yeah, they're very soft fish. Yeah, they're very soft.
And Tyler caught it on a nice, like a weighted nymph,
a weighted stonefly
nymph. No indicator, just casting it, little retrieve, bam, he's in first night.
Yeah. That's very typical.
My whole life, I've wanted to catch an Arctic grayling. I take my son to Alma Lake Lodge, and he's beat me to my bucket list fish.
Fish.
I said, good for you, Ty, you caught the grayling.
Caught the fish, yeah.
The next day we go out and we're into big fish now. We're talking, what's our other fish? Let's talk about the other fish
besides.
The other
fish that we fish here all the time is for lake trout.
And the lake trout. Now, many people think lake trout, you've got to go to the bottom of a 100-foot lake.
Yeah, that's typical. For the southern regions of Canada and for the United States, you have to go deep as a rule. For where we're at, we have so much ice. We have ice probably the better part of nine months a year up here because we are so far north. We're above the tree line so far. That the winters are that much colder and that much longer. And so we didn't have ice off this year until basically the first couple of days of July off the lake.
Ice off completely.
Completely.
First week of July.
Yeah. So we still have like really, really cold weather. We don't have a thermal climate flips on the water because our water is so cold from the ice being so late in the year. And then spring and summer and fall come very quick in the Arctic. So it's not too much of a transition, and before you know it, you're in cooler weather again. So we catch lake trout all the time in the top 15, 20 feet. We, you know, you can dry fly for them, you can streamer fish for them, you can troll with flies for them. It's a tremendous fish. We can fish from the shore, the rivers. We've got quite a few rivers you can fish from. You'll catch lake trout and Arctic grayling in all the rivers here at the same time.
And big ones.
And big ones, yeah.
So let's talk about the thermocline, because I want our listeners to really understand why you have big lake trout. And when I'm talking about big, we've seen a 50-pound lake trout caught this week.
Yeah, we caught a 50-pound lake trout.
Yeah,
a couple days.
But and we've caught many in the teens. Tyler caught a 20-pound lake trout. We caught an 18 today. We caught a couple 18s yesterday.
Yep.
And you're talking big, big fish.
Big fish.
Now, why are there big fish so close to the surface? I know you talked about it, but talk about the thermocline. How many weeks of open water you have? Let's talk about that.
Well, like I said, we don't really have a thermocline around the lake just because we're so cold all the time.
So tell people about thermocline. Like,
thermocline,
how does that
the
work?
Water, the water transitions from the bottom to the top. The water shifts over. So then the colder water tends to go to the bottom of the lake, and the warmer water comes to the top. When that happens, the fish follow down, and they sit just below the thermocline. So typically the fish, in Alberta for lake trout, and it's the rest of Canada, southern Canada, all the fish are in the bottom. So most times you need a dipsy diver, you need lead-weighted line, or you need a downrigger to eat your fish after the first couple of weeks of warm weather. Here we can catch them any time of the day, any time of the summer up here on the surface with a dry fly or with a streamer. They're always on the surface. We do have fish that are deep. I'm not saying that at all, but we don't have to go deep. The large record's 62 pounds. We catch them all the time between 5 feet and 15 feet of water on a daily basis.
And so typically when I think of thermocline, you know, you sense that, like, if your foot hits a thermocline, you're warm, and then all of a sudden your foot gets cold because you've got that, there's like a layer.
Layer there.
There's like a layering effect.
Yeah. Of the warm water.
The thermocline, you have warm water, and then instantaneously, just an inch below it, it's cold.
It's cold, yeah.
So that's that thermocline point, right? And a lot of times those lake trout, if you have thermocline, are down into that colder water.
Our surface water temperature on an average all summer long runs anywhere from probably 47 to 52, 53 on the average spot, basically anywhere in the lake. So that's the surface. So if you go a foot below the surface, it's a whole lot colder. You go 2 or 3 feet below the surface, and it's cold. It's
yep.
very, very cold.
Yep. So the lake trout don't feel the need that they need to be deep.
They don't need to be deep. They choose to be deep. Some of them do by choice, but they don't need to go deep at all. So therefore, we always have them on the surface. We see them finning like we saw today.
Yep.
We saw big fish finning. We saw smaller fish, smaller dorsal fins today finning. And we saw really big dorsal fins finning today. And that's very typical. On a flat water day, calmer day, we don't see it so much in the wavy water because we can't really see it with the wavy water.
It's really fun to watch your child catch like a fish of a lifetime. And Tyler did that in the 20-pound lake trout that he got.
Yep, first day.
And to see the rod buckle over, we've been using Cheeky, and I've had other reels. I won't mention their name because I don't want to badmouth any reels because, you know, all companies, sometimes you have good reels, sometimes you have bad ones. But I have some older saltwater reels that I was going to bring up for this trip. And I'm so glad I decided to upgrade to newer reels. We end up getting the Cheeky Limitless, mm-hmm. and they have zero inertia on drag on the pole.
Yeah.
They start up and go when they want, stop when they want. You can reel them in nice. But what I was really, it was so fun watching those new reels when that rod buckled over and when that drag is set, it just takes line and they go.
And they go, yeah.
I mean, I had one fish, I was reeling it in, I had it all the way to the boat, he hears the boat, sees the boat, and he rips line.
Yep.
I was in 30 feet of my backing in seconds.
In seconds.
So it was so much fun to watch the fish take that line.
Yes.
You know, where I'm from in Massachusetts, you gotta go steelheading, or you have to go down south, you have to find fish that are going to rip line like that. And to come up here and see those reels and those drags ripping many times per day. I mean, we fished a half a day because we wanted to come back and do the podcast.
Yeah, that's
we caught 15 fish in just a few hours, like
just a couple hours.
3 hours,
yeah.
15 fish. We got a couple 18s, some low teens and a lot of smaller fish, but what a blast. And to see those reels ripping on a consistent basis.
Consistent basis.
It's so fun.
Yeah. So we can do with the fly fishing up here really easy with the lake trout all summer long.
Yep.
It works really, really well. Colors vary a little bit. Chartreuse is a really good color for us normally. This year, orange has been a great color. Anytime we put an orange color on, we're getting all kinds of strikes. And they follow all the time. They'll just follow the fly. So you gotta work. You gotta work your fly. You gotta pulse it. You gotta stream it.
Yeah.
Let it pulse. Stream it. Let it pulse to try and trigger a strike. One thing that worked really well this year was having the stinger hooks on. We have a lot of fish biting short. They were nipping at the fly.
Right.
Just kind of nipping, just kind of tasting it.
Right, right.
And that stinger hooked a lot of fish.
And talking about the stinger hooks and the flies, I just want to throw a kudos to Gary Hanke out of Alberta.
Out of Alberta.
Yep. He runs the Alberta fishing community. And he's done an amazing job. I actually went and purchased 10 hand-tied flies that he made for our trip.
Yep.
All in different colors. This week was the orange.
Orange.
I had a bunch of chartreuse and some blues. And many colors worked well. The orange worked the best. But he made a beautiful fly.
Yep.
And they worked great this week. And he left me a nice steel.
Yes.
To attach the stinger hook to.
Attach the stinger hook.
Yeah. And just he's done a great job. The other thing, too, we were talking about location. I end up going through Calgary because, speaking of Gary, I'm going to go see him.
You're going to go fishing?
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm going to go to Banff.
Yep.
I said, I'm going all the way through there. Why not? I've always wanted to see Banff.
Yeah.
See it on the way out. Take Tyler. See Banff on the way out. And maybe do a little fishing down there, too.
Yes.
Tell me about the lodge now. How did you come to own it? You've owned it for 5 years. This is, like, incredible, this property.
It is. It's absolutely amazing. We were looking, Patty and I were looking, we have a outfit, hunting business in Alberta, and we've had it for 19 years now. So approximately 7-8 years ago, we started looking for a fishing lodge.
Okay.
We actually kind of looked at the west coast for salmon fishing on the Haida-Gwaii.
Okay.
But we decided that we would come inland and not have other boats. We didn't want to have other competition. We wanted to have more of a remote, unique experience for the clients that were coming up. So we looked for something that was remote, and we found it. We found Elmer Lake Lodge.
And 5 years ago.
5 years ago, and we bought it, and it's been absolutely amazing. We're a long ways away from anybody. There's nobody up here. You don't see anything or anybody. When the plane shuts off and the turbine shuts off and the plane, you get off in the dock, the silence is deafening because there's just nothing up here.
Well, except for a few mammals.
Yes, there's a few mammals up here.
We were very fortunate, and it was a highlight. And I told my good friend Kevin here that I enjoyed the fishing so much. I was fly casting and I caught a beautiful 18-pound lake trout. We got some beautiful pictures right there on the shore in the river yesterday. Got some beautiful pictures. We were able to post them. And I said, you know, as fun as the fishing's been all day, the highlight of this day was seeing an Arctic muskox in its natural setting. I saw it and I saw this black movement. You said, if you ever see some black or some dark colors or dark shades and you see movement, let me know, because it may be. And we came around a ridge and all of a sudden I saw this black movement. I said Kevin, take a look at that. He said, oh, that's a muskox. And we came up on it and we were within 30 yards,
and it swam across the river right in front of us. It was very, very cool. We watched it go into the river, swim across the river, and come out of the river
and then go over the ridge.
And that ridge that it went over top of, that's actually a cairn that was built by Ernest Thomas Seton in 1907. And he's the founder for Boy Scouts of America. So he come up here, and at the time in 1907, they thought this was an ocean or a sea. And so he come up to explore Lake Elmer.
And so this muskox just went across this ridge, went up over hill. We went around the backside because you knew it would be coming. Your experience as a tracker came in handy, because we went around this point, and sure enough, this beautiful muskox, he stopped and he started staring at us like, what are you doing? Why are you following me? And he got a little bit irritated, I think, and he went into a full gallop across the tundra.
Yeah.
And to see that muskox,
see the hair move on it,
and just to see it gallop, it's so fast.
Yeah, it's extremely fast.
And he got around the rocks like that, and he was just cruising. You could see this
big. These are also, we have big lake trout, huge lake trout, and we have the world's largest muskox, because they're the barren ground mainland muskox. So they're the biggest muskox in the world.
We got some great pics that we're able to post and share with our friends. To see that muskox go across that river and swim and come up and stare at us with the horns.
With the horns, yeah.
It was just spectacular. So there's muskox. You can see muskox. You could be fishing along, and it's very safe. I mean, all the guides have guns.
Yeah, no, we don't carry guns unless we go for shore. If we're going to fish the river on the shore, then we pack a gun.
Okay.
Otherwise, if we're not planning on being on shore, then we don't pack guns.
Okay. What other type of animals that one might see out here up in our Elmer Lake Lodge?
You'll see barren land caribou, which is the central barren land caribou.
Okay.
You'll see muskox. You'll see Arctic tundra wolves. We have a den right behind the lodge. We've seen them 7 times this last week.
Wolves.
Well, we've seen the Arctic tundra wolf 7 times this last week. We have barren ground grizzly bears that are in the area. We see them occasionally. We have 6'6", which is a large Arctic squirrel. It's about that tall. and we have lots of harris in the area. We have 6 or 7 harris all around the lodge. Yeah. You see them on a daily basis,
yep,
which is pretty cool. We have peregrine falcons. We have 7 nests nesting on the lake here. There's only about 150, 160 nesting pairs in the world, and we have 7 pairs nesting here on the lake.
So what's a good season? When can somebody
come up? We fish July and August only because we have ice still in June. And by the end of August, first part of September, we start to get a bit wind. It's not that it really gets, it's not really cold. September can be temperature-wise very nice. Mm-hmm. We just get a little bit more windier, that's all.
What an incredible time, and I'll tell you, it's been spectacular to be up here in the Arctic. I've been on some floatplane trips before, and by far this ranks right up at the top.
Well, you leave Yellowknife in the boreal forest, mm-hmm, which is a key area in all of northern, in all the world, actually. It produces the most songbirds, the most waterfowl. It's an ecosystem for fish as a nursery.
Right.
It's a huge part of the world's ecosystem. You leave that and you fly, and as you fly, the trees get less and less and less and less. Then you cross the tree line and there's no more trees. It's just barren ground land. It's absolutely yep. amazing.
Yep.
And there's lakes everywhere. We're the seventh largest lake in the Northwest Territories.
Elmer Lake is the seventh largest lake
in the Northwest Territories.
And Patty's incredible here at the lodge.
Yep. I mean, we make a great team. We own it together. It's just not mine. It's mine and Patty's. Patty helps out a lot. She does cooking. The cooking's fantastic.
Oh.
It's not a fishing trip. It's an adventure.
It's an adventure.
You see wildlife. You hook big fish. We caught big fish. We lost way bigger fish.
Don't remind people of that. No, it's true, though. We did lose some big fish.
We lost some really big
fish. But you're going to hook fish and you're going to
miss fish. You're going to hook fish and you're going to lose fish. But we hooked some really big fish this week.
Yeah.
And that's all part of it. But it's not just a fishing trip. It's an adventure. So you have really good fish. You have phenomenal fishing. You have world-class fishing for the Arctic grayling and for the lake trout. Then we have world-class wildlife viewing. Not too many places you can go and drive by a peregrine falcon nest and see the babies in it. They're just right there.
Yep.
It's very, very cool.
And the wolf den.
And the wolf den. It's only, you know, a kilometer away from the lodge. And
ptarmigan.
Ptarmigan. We saw ptarmigan all the time. And
yep.
It's pretty cool in that regard.
Might see it. And the bull moose you saw last week?
Yeah, we saw a bull moose, 65-inch bull moose.
65-inch rack.
Yeah,
I saw the pictures. Unbelievable.
We saw 3 different groups of caribou. We saw 2 single bulls. And then we saw a group of 60 caribou.
When we went around and we shored.
Yep.
With the muskox.
Yep.
We were kind of tracking it a bit. I've never been on a hunt. Love to go on one maybe someday, but I just haven't got to that yet. But I felt like I was like almost hunting this muskox because we were kind of tracking it.
We were trying to track it.
And we were watching it. And then we just let it go up over the ridge.
Yep.
But it was like an experience that I've never had before.
Yep.
I mean, obviously, muskox, you're here in the Arctic. You never had that experience before. But to get off the boat and to kind of go on land and watch it come around and to have that experience was almost like an incredible bonus. To an incredible fishing trip.
Yep.
An incredible bonus on top of that.
And that's what I said. It's just not only the fishing, it's the wildlife viewing opportunities that you have. And you can see wildlife at any corner, any bay, anywhere apart. And the river's pretty big. The river's 10 miles long. The main river that we fish, we've got 10 miles of river. And it goes from 100 feet wide to 3 miles wide in places. It's huge. It's a huge river system.
Why did you guys buy it? I know you talked, you were thinking about getting, you've been a hunting guide forever.
We wanted a remote fishing area. We wanted something remote, pristine.
Why did you buy Elmer Lake Lodge? Like, what about this land?
Nobody up here. There's nobody around me. And there's no neighbors. My nearest neighbor is like 100 plus miles away. The fishing is phenomenal. It's a virgin fishery. We have world record class lake trout here. We have the unofficial ladies world record. We didn't have the official because we didn't weigh it on land. We live released it from the boat. And because we live released it from the boat, we didn't weigh it on land, they won't accept it.
So tell me about the virgin fishery. Now, you bought it from somebody who was a caribou hunter.
Yeah, they were caribou outfitters. At the time, the lodge was built by Alan and Kathy Rabane. Alan's a custom log home builder. And he did caribou hunting up here. He didn't do fishing. And when the Northwest Territory shut the Central Barren Land caribou hunting down 9 years ago, he kept it for 1 or 2 more years, hoping that they would open the caribou back up again, and it looked like they weren't going to. So he put it up for sale, and me and Patty bought it the day he listed it.
For the fishery?
For the fishery. Strictly for the fishery.
Did you fish it?
Yes, we did.
Did you fish it before you bought it?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We come up and we did a 7-day inspection.
Yeah.
We did two 1-hour test fisheries, one in the lake and one in the river. The river was, we were over 100 fish per boat on 2 boats.
What happened?
Yeah, we were over 100 fish. Nothing really large, like largest being like 28, 29.
Pounds.
Pounds.
See, that's really large, but go ahead.
In the river, and then when we fished the lake, when we fished Alamore Lake, we fished for 1 hour, and we had three fish over 30 in 1 hour. And we had some smaller ones, 17, 18 pound ones, but we had three over 30. And we fished it the last week of August. That's when we bought the lodge, actually.
And so you said this will work?
This will work.
And tell us about the camp record. You're talking about big fish. Now, because, you know, as fly fishermen, whether it's 20, 30, 50, you know, 50 obviously would be special, but 20 or 30, you know, it's a big fish.
It's a
big fight.
It's a big experience. It's a great fish.
So I don't like to really talk about, biggest fish or records per se, but just so people know what's available, yeah. What's...
The biggest we've netted so far is 62.
62 pounds.
62 pounds. We've had bigger at the boat, but we haven't successfully netted them.
That's an incredible fish, and I know Tyler's fish is blowing up on Facebook, all his friends... Oh, yeah. 20-pound fish holding it with a big, giant smile. I mean, how can you, whether it's 20 pounds, 30 pounds, 50 pounds, a big, giant smile is a big, giant smile.
That's exactly right. And we don't have a record behind every, corner of a rock, but we have a lot of big fish, as you've seen this week.
Yeah, it's been so much fun. And the grayling, I mean, to catch a grayling that's so beautiful and big, and to be able to do that in so many different corners of your property. I was doing it in the river.
Yep.
I was nymphing for them. I was using an indicator. I was streamer fishing, dry fly fishing. There's so many ways to catch graylings.
Tyler sets his fly rod up off the dock. First cast, gets it light. Second cast, misses it. Third cast, lands it.
And it's a 3-plus-pound grayling.
Yeah, it's like a 3.5-4-pound grayling. Yeah.
So 10 weeks, you said, open water.
Yeah, 10 weeks for open water. We have a little bit more, maybe 11, 12, but we get more windier in the end.
And when you originally flew in this year, you had ice still on the lake?
We still had ice on the lake. And every year is different, just like at your house.
Yeah.
Some winters are longer, some winters are shorter, some summers are warmer, some summers are colder. So it's no different up here. But temperature-wise, we basically follow what Edmonton temperature is. We're very close to central Alberta for temperature-wise. But our winter is longer and starts sooner. But
okay.
The summer temperatures are the same.
You ever seen the Northern Lights?
Yes. Northern Lights, we get about... I want to say August 12th, 13th, 14th, we have enough darkness that we can see them. We have dark in the south, but not in the north yet. We still have quite a bit of light in the north. So it's kind of weird. You stand here and you look north and you can see the sun still, like it's still quite bright, but you look south and it's actually quite dark and you can see the Northern Lights. We don't look north to see the Northern Lights. We have to look south because we're above the Ring of Fire.
Amazing.
But we have, from the middle of August to the end of August, the first couple, first week into September, as long as we don't have cloud cover, then the Northern Lights are just from sky to sky.
So right now we're getting about how many hours of sunlight?
We're getting about, I want to say, probably 18, 19 hours, 20 hours of sunlight right now.
And the darkness is not pitch black?
It's not pitch black, no. It's not pitch
black.
So
in the middle of the night when it's dark, it's still kind of dusky.
Yeah, I took a picture the other night at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it looks like it does right now.
Sunny, yeah. And that'll flip in the winter.
That'll flip in the winter.
You won't be here.
No, we won't be here, but we'll have probably 19 hours of dark, 5 hours of daylight at max.
Amazing.
Yeah, at max.
Well, this has been a great trip, and I just I would encourage people to investigate your website, AlmoreLakeLodge.com.
Yeah, AlmoreLakeLodge.com, or you can go to our Facebook page. We have an Alamore Lake Facebook page.
Yeah, and just investigate. Do some diligence, see what's available to you, because how many miles are we from Nunavut?
We're about 30 miles from Nunavut, where the lodge sits, but the lake are actually our lake end. Just the border. We're right on the border, yep.
We're right on the border, within 30 miles of the border of Nunavut.
Yep.
And that's the most northern of the
territories,
right?
Yeah.
And how far from, let's say, the Arctic Circle?
We're about 50, 60 miles from the Arctic Circle.
50 or 60 miles from the Arctic Circle. And we've had beautiful weather here all week.
We've had nice weather.
It's been a little bit of rain now and again. We just layered up for that. We're out there fishing in short sleeves a lot,
too. We can't predict the weather. We can only control what we can control. We can't control the weather, just like anybody anywhere else can't control
the
weather.
Sure. But I just want people to understand, when they talk about the Arctic Circle, they think we might be up here freezing.
No, not at all. Like I said, the temperature is no different than what Edmonton is.
Edmonton.
In the summertime. We basically follow Edmonton's temperature all the way along.
Yeah. It's been a ton of fun. And how many guests can you actually take here at once?
We can take 20 at one time.
20, okay. And you've got plenty of boats for people to get around.
Plenty of boats. We've got lots of boats, lots of new motors. We run the 30-horsepower E-Tech motors. Love the motors. They run really, really well.
And I took the canoe out?
Yeah, we only have one canoe now. We had two
Yep. So I took the canoe out, and we actually did some dry fly fishing right in front of the lodge. Me and my son Tyler, we did some dry fly fishing from the lodge.
Yeah, you can canoe to the river right behind the lodge.
Yeah, right across the way here. You can canoe all the way across the bay and fish this river. How far does this river go up?
This river actually goes 70 miles.
This river I'm looking at right here.
It goes 70 miles.
70 miles.
It's a river or lake system. It goes 70 miles. It's unnamed. There's no name on it. It's an unnamed river.
Can I name it?
Sure.
I'll have to think about that. Yeah. But what do I want to call that river? I guess you'd call it a different thing every trip, right?
Every trip, yeah.
So it's been a ton of fun. I would highly encourage our listeners to check out AlmerLakeLodge.com. Yeah. I don't anticipate this being my last trip up here.
I would certainly hope not, because we need to catch some more big fish.
Big fish. Big fish.
You need big streamers. Catch big fish.
I just want to mention that the food, the cooking around here is pretty spectacular.
Cooking is phenomenal.
You know, Patty makes an incredible meal.
It's a team effort. It's not a single person. It's not one guide. It's not me and Patty as the owners.
What was that stuffed lake trout we had the other day?
It was just baked lake trout.
Oh, it was
Patty
baked.
Bakes it. Yeah. She stuffs it like a turkey.
Like a baked stuffed lake trout.
Like, yeah, like a stuffed turkey stuffing type thing with it stuffed like a stuffed lake trout. We've had smoked lake trout.
Lasagna. We've had some meats.
Yeah, we've had all kinds of fish cooked all kinds of different ways.
And we have the oatmeal or eggs. We've had crepes in the morning.
Yeah, crepes, yeah. Cooked crepes.
You get a to-go box for lunch, so you don't have to come back to camp.
Yeah, we stay out all day long.
We get beautiful desserts, carrot cakes and chocolate cakes and all kinds of yumminess. So
as much as you want to eat, you don't go hungry.
Coffee in the morning with our Jeff Currier mugs.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So it's been great to have you on a podcast, Kevin. I think this is actually, I know this is actually the furthest we've ever come for a podcast.
For a podcast, that's awesome.
So we've set a record.
Perfect.
The furthest podcast.
And your biggest grayling.
The biggest grayling and biggest lake trout.
So three records in 5 days.
Not bad. Actually five, because Tyler got his biggest lake trout.
That's what I was just going to say that. Tyler got his too.
Biggest grayling. So we've had a lot of fun. So thank you for being on a podcast. Thank you for having us as guests. And we'll come back and see you again real soon. The float plane's coming in today.
Yep, float plane comes in today. That's your problem, not mine. I get to stay.
Oh, the float plane is always coming in. I hate that day.
Yeah. You can fix that.
I can fix it. I can come back.
You can come back.
I will be back. And we'll bring some people, and we want people to experience this northern land.
Yeah.
Because it's truly a once-in-a-lifetime. That could be a once-in-a-lifetime every single summer.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime every single summer. It's amazing, an amazing place to be.
Yes, and just to close, you can check out AlmerLakeLodge.com for more information on how you could, too, be part of this amazing experience. So, Kevin, thanks for being on our podcast.
You're welcome. Check out our website.
You've been listening to Fly Fishing Journeys with your host, Rob Giannino. To be notified of new episodes, subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher and follow us on Facebook. And please, like and share our podcast with your friends. For past episodes or to read our journal blog posts, check out flyfishingjourneys.com. Fly fishing is a journey, and we're glad you are on this journey with us.